Morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
From Kachuk to Chuck, how about that on 590 The Fan? Big Walt to Big Charlie.
Upgrade? Probably not.
No.
Good stories from Big Walt. I was driving around listening. That was good stuff.
I apologize because behind the scenes I said, I don't know if he'll really show up or not. I think he will. Look to be happy to be here. Make fun of me. That's kind of part of his deal. It makes it even better. Big Walt, thanks for being here. Keith Kachuk was in the 11 o'clock hour. Charlie Marlowe. That name goes, it hasn't stuck. I like it. It's funny.
I like it.
But nobody calls me. It's like Gary Pinkel finally got it to stick. Okay, well, we're at the zoo, okay? We call this the zoo. Well, it's Furrow Field. Well, it's Memorial. Oh, no, the zoo. He tried so hard, and it finally stuck.
Did it?
I think it is. You went there, Schaefer.
Yeah, I think
they call it the zoo.
I do think they call it that now to some extent. Can I interject and say, how did we not have Chris in here to play What Day Is It while he was here? How did we miss that?
Yeah, and I didn't know if Frank was as in tune with that.
Yeah,
at some point during the 45 minutes, I almost said to Walt, seriously, do you know what day it is?
What is today? Tuesday?
Yeah, Thursday. It's a great life. So yes, 2020 only when Big Walt comes around. Derek Gould's going to join us. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to talk a little baseball, the playoffs going on. Also want to get his take on what's happening in Miami. Do you think there's any change in status there, because Derek Jeter was coming in and they said they're going to slash the payroll. In other words, everybody's available. And now you start to hear things coming out of Miami where, well, that's not the case. They're going to try and hang on to some of these guys. My theory is your trading leverage is shot if you tell everybody, well, we're going to unload. So you have to kind of walk that back and say, well, no, we're keeping everybody. You know what I'm saying? If everybody knows you're looking to unload, what kind of deal are you going to get?
I think people know, though. No matter what they say publicly, that, as John Mozeliak says very often, they're open for business. And the fact that when you look at the Marlins, and they have three really good outfielders, now maybe none of those guys will still be there, but what they need, of course, is pitching. Cardinals do have a lot of very good pitching prospects, just saying.
We'll get into the baseball with Derek Gould coming up at 12:30, a special audio edition of the Grinder. I think we may have unearthed something today. And that, you know, Gardner likes himself a good conspiracy. I think we might be on to something. We'll get to that. It's the Midday Grind brought to you by Window World. Window World has been in St. Louis since 2003. Windowworld.com. Simply the best for less before winter arrives. And in St. Louis, before winter arrives, it means it'll be 87 this weekend. But if you're thinking about new windows for this winter to save on those heating bills, check them out online or in person. Window World Showroom in Bridgeton on St. Charles Rock Road, 993-1800. The phone number, 314-993-1800. Low cost, high quality, great warranty, supervised installation. Those are the pillars, Chuck. The four pillars.
Faith, character, core values.
Closing practices.
Team first.
Getting rid of
media.
Team photographer.
Media can't go to the bathroom there.
Four pillars at Window World are actually working as opposed to the other guy. 314-993-1800, free estimate with that phone call. They'll come out to your home, do the measurement. Every window that ends up in your home is custom-made. Window World, simply the best for less.
You know, we always continue to poke a little fun at our guy, Spags. He's probably making, what, $3 million a year as a defensive coordinator? And we talked about this off-air. But our offensive line coach for the Miami Dolphins, the guy who was snorting lines and then put it out on a video, I read he was making between $2.5 and $3 million as an NFL, not coordinator, offensive line coach. By the way, their running game was horrible this year with Jay Ajayi.
He was the running game coordinator.
$2.5 to $3 Millie to be the offensive line coach.
What does Aaron Gase make, the head coach in Miami? Not a whole lot more than that. I mean, he's not a $4 or $5 million coach. It's his first head coaching gig. How can you justify that? $2.5 to $3 million.
And he was spending a lot of it probably on recreational drugs. Seems like Las Vegas, let's call them, what, models? Escorts.
I think Cam Jansen said, was she a ripper? And everybody in the room said, what's a ripper? The stripper. And I'm like, is that code? Because if it's code, it's not real subtle. Hey, me and the boys are going tonight. We're going to go see some rippers.
I have to
and
say,
like, wait a minute, what could he possibly be talking about?
I was kind of fascinated by this story when she posted that on social media. So when you kind of search on Twitter, you see the different people's names. I happened to go to her Twitter page, and she doesn't have a ton of followers, or at least she didn't. But when you go to her bio, you can click on a link there where she can do, I guess it's webcam shows for you. So that kind of shows you what her occupation is.
I'm kind of surprised in the hockey world, because they always have the simple nickname, you know, Marlo. What would you be, Marzi or something?
Marzi.
So, hey, yeah, Stripsy. So what does she do for a living? Oh, we just call her Stripsy.
Prosty.
Okay.
Prosty.
Prosty.
Prosty the Snowman. Prosty
and the Blowman.
That's perfect. That is so good.
Prosty. That sounds like a 70s show.
Oh, Prosty and the Blowman.
That was on before Simon and Simon.
If nobody's like used this before, man. This is so good. Prosty and the Snowman or Blowman, either way. They both work.
It all works. In fact, Frank Cusumano quoted Chris Gardner in talking about that story. And instead of saying cocaine, he quoted Gardner. What do you say?
Bolivian marching powder.
Bolivian marching powder, yes. Yeah. How did we get there from here? I don't know.
Good
one
stuff,
thing
though.
We do during the midday grind, we make bold predictions, and we hope that you take those and wager, maybe take out a second mortgage, because Steven Strasburg was the daily pinata for about 24 hours. The guy wouldn't pitch because of some air conditioning. There's mold going around. You know, Dusty didn't do him any favors in explaining it by saying, well, there's a lot of mold and there's air conditioning. So then all of a sudden, Strasburg said, you know, I feel better. I'm going to pitch. And we were talking about it yesterday, and we had some thoughts. Will he shove? Will he get shoved?
I'm going to take it to the bank that he gives up as many or more runs than innings pitched today. He will not have fewer earned runs or fewer runs than innings pitched. He will not have that take place.
Here's what will happen. Sixth inning. Strasburg's pitching well. They're up 2-1, but let's say he walks somebody. He's at about 94 pitches. All of a sudden, he starts sneezing on the mound. Clearly, the mold spores are getting to him, but can he still pitch? Dusty goes out there. Strasburg keeps sneezing, and then Dusty has to make the call, and you know it's going to backfire.
We're all expecting that, and usually it's the opposite.
Mm-mm. Not with this team.
No
this is
hitter.
This is a cursed team.
Steven Strasburg fans the side of the bottom of the seventh. He's got a dozen.
Okay, so if you missed the game.
I did say he would pitch well.
You did say that. You just, I think we're guessing that some way, somehow, it would be a meltdown for Dusty or it would backfire. Shape's the one who had to kind of eat it there.
But I'm ready to do another one on today's game, too, though. You can take it to the bank. The Cubs are going to win by 7 runs. They're going to win, and they're going to advance.
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
There is no chance the Nationals can beat the Cubs tonight. No chance.
And you're saying that because you want to be wrong again.
No, I just know that that's what is going to happen. What are you talking about, Martin?
Okay.
You can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And in terms of them potentially being cursed, there is a Game 5. So something crazy could also happen tonight. And I'm glad there's a Game 5 because, you know what? Every night with baseball is a better night. We have another game, another fun game, hopefully, to watch. I will say this, though. From a karma standpoint, I feel bad because we all joked yesterday about the allergy index and mold spores. And truthfully, yesterday, and I said this, I woke up, my throat has been feeling sore the last 2 days, and it's because of the dramatic change in temperature and having the air conditioning on all night, waking up. My house was 67 degrees, and a day later, I still feel not 100%, so I was poking fun yesterday. You could see how that could happen, though. That's all I'm saying.
But
you don't say it. You don't tell the media about mold spores. Come on now.
No, I think Dusty, his mishandling this time was not on the mound. It was at the microphone. Just say, Strasburg's not feeling real well. We're going to see how he looks tomorrow. Instead of, well, he's got, you know, the mold that's in the air. It just sounded bad. It made Strasburg look bad. But he totally reversed the narrative and the script. And now it's not on par with Jordan or Willis Reed, but it's like, hey, the dude was kind of sick, and man, did he go out there and kick some ass. I mean, he may not have been aware of how bad the criticism was, but he totally silenced the Cubs and the critics all in one full swoop.
I did enjoy the headline of the sports section in the Chicago Sun-Times. Simply said, mold statement. I did enjoy that one.
That's not bad. Can you do rally mold? I tried to sell it to you suckers. Nobody would bite.
Just have a little pile of mold.
I didn't want to tweet it, but I thought maybe one of you clowns would do it. I wanted to see how it would play.
Kind
of
sounds dangerous.
Rally mold?
I made a couple of mold jokes on Twitter. Not great response. Probably not great jokes. I tweeted out the allergy index, and then I said after Strasburg was doing really well that he's made from a different mold. And
I did one too.
Sparingly, you know, was accepted.
All right, can I take it to the bank again? This is dangerous, but we're going to take it to the bank. Brought to you by Triad Bank, the friendly neighborhood bank in Frontenac, one block west of Lindbergh on Clayton Road. They're on the web at triadbanking.com. Started in St. Louis in 2005, a St. Louis-based bank. So if you're in business and you'd like to expand, you're looking for a loan, talk to Jim Regna, anybody on his team over at Triad Bank, because they know the St. Louis area well. And that's a big part of it. As you're looking to do more business, they get the St. Louis landscape and they can help you. Triadbanking.com or stop by for all your banking needs in person in Frontenac. And as always, they bring you Take It to the Bank. I will say this, that Max Scherzer pitches tonight. Do you think that is a safe 100% Take It to the Bank? In
yes.
some fashion, whether it's an inning here, whether it's two innings. You know, I don't know what they do when they get to the CS. If they win, if you're the Nats, you cannot worry about that. As tortured as their history has been, there is the do factor. I mean, Dale Earnhardt couldn't win the Daytona 500. He'll never win it until he does. John Elway couldn't win the Super Bowl until he does. Cubs will never win a World Series until they, well, that went for a while. And then they finally did. Won't the Nats at some point break through?
You would think. Also, I thought you meant the morning do, kind of like mold. You know what I'm saying?
That they're due. That they're okay, due.
Bad joke.
Back
there.
To allergies.
I don't know, honestly.
Are you hopped up on some Claritin?
I've been taking
Allegra.
A lot of stuff and a lot of lozenges. Honestly, I'm not feeling too great. But I don't know. Can you really make a bold statement about tonight's game? Would it surprise you either
Other than
way?
Saying that I think Scherzer will pitch. That
Correct.
Is, I think I'm safe with that.
I think Scherzer probably pitches about two innings. Kyle Hendricks, who nobody talks about, and he's kind of a new age Greg Maddux. He's skinny. He's kind of nerdy looking. And he's been awesome the last couple months since he's come off the disabled list. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he pitched really, really well. The Nationals lineup, up until yesterday, I was watching the game. They throw up the graphic of how they've hit in the first three games. Now, obviously, they scored five yesterday and four on a grand slam. The whole team was hitting like 100 or 91 or 125. I mean, we're talking about one of the best lineups in baseball.
Can I admit that I didn't play in the big leagues, okay?
What?
I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not, but... It kills me how guys who are making millions who are at the big league level, and now it's the playoffs. It's the biggest moment of the whole season. You went to spring training, you played games in April and June, and now it's October, and you got Jason Worth, who can crush the ball, just taking strike three. And I'm like, seriously, just swing the bat. I don't want him taking a walk. It drives me bananas, and the strike zones have been weird in all these series. I feel like they've been all over the map. But Jason Worth, just swing the bat. It might go 500 feet. And I hate it when you got two strikes and they take those pitches that are just on the edge or real questionable.
Who does that remind you of?
I said yesterday, Matt Carpenter even thinks he should swing the bat. But you know, Worth is more of a home run threat than Carpenter in my mind. I think of him as more of a threat that way. Whereas Carpenter seems to be focused on getting on base while also having power. Jason Worth, for a team that hasn't hit, you're like, swing the bat. It's
but also,
real simple.
Should he even be out there? I'm watching the TBS pregame show.
Is it the ragweed, you mean?
Yeah, with the beard and all that, the hair. No, but I'm watching the TBS pregame show, which is also very good. You have Gary Sheffield, Jimmy Rollins, you have Pedro Martinez.
And I think that the guy in the middle holds it together
he's very
well.
Good. I cannot remember
Casey
his name.
Casey Stern.
Yes, he's very good
And
as
one
well.
Thing I really appreciated last year when Buck Showalter didn't use Zach Britton, and the players were all kind of like, well, it's a tough loss. He's like, what about he basically like nobody wanted to throw Buck under the bus, and the kid hosting says hello, and he kind of went on a rant saying unacceptable, there's no explanation, and then the guys who played the game would say, well, you don't know what he was thinking, you don't understand, I'm like, no,
But one of the big storylines during that show and before the game was, why is Jason Wirth out there still? And we know last year of a seven-year contract, Dusty Baker is a loyal guy. Jason Wirth now at this point in his career, he's not the Philadelphia Phillies Jason Wirth that was helping a team win the World Series. And a lot of people on that show were advocating that Howie Kendrick should be out there playing instead of Jason Wirth. And then you watch the first couple of bats, like you said, where he's just taking strike three two times. Not good.
Nats host a game five tonight against the Cubs, and I think St. Louis fans, you know, if you're in the TV business and if you're Spencer, our boss, and you're thinking about the World Series, which is on Fox, I hate to say it, but I think you want the Cubs for viewers. More people will watch if the Cubs are in the World Series around the country and in St. Louis. I'm not saying I'm rooting for this, but let's say your World Series is Astros versus Nats. Yeah. Yankees-Dodgers sounds good.
Are you talking only for TV ratings, though?
Correct.
Or what actually could be a really good, compelling series?
No. I'm just saying, as a TV executive, whether you're in St. Louis or whether you're Fox corporate, I think you really want the Cubs in the World Series.
You don't think that Yankees-Dodgers will be bigger?
Yankees-Dodgers, I would take that. But I think St. Louis, Cubs over Dodgers in terms of viewership. You're more likely to tune in if the Cubs are on in the World Series, even though you may hate them, you may be a Cardinal fan, you will tune in to root against them. Because St. Louis always watches the All-Star game. They always watch the playoffs. The World Series numbers are always huge. As an executive locally, I think. Now, nationally, that's a good argument. Dodgers-Yankees has East Coast, West Coast, history there. Dodgers haven't been in years. But boy, I think the Cub factor is still real high in terms, especially in St. Louis. More people would watch, I think, than the Dodgers.
Martin, I'm going to watch no matter what, but what you're saying makes sense to me, and I've even had this note jotted down in my notebook for a while now, because I'm concerned about myself, especially when I've been watching the Cubs and Nats play, because I feel, at this point in my life, I hate things more than I like things. And I don't know that's a good path to go down.
Hasn't that always been the case, though?
Yeah, but this is different, because I'm starting to realize it, I guess. I've illuminated myself to this thought.
I don't know. Coaches will always tell you that I hate losing more than I enjoy winning.
Oh.
You know, I think it does happen. I have not.
Maybe it's the 12-year-old bench coach in me, you know?
I think that's the human condition, though. Don't you fear failure more than you really relish success? Aren't you more driven, though, by just potentially looking really bad, whether it's in sports or life or at your job in a relationship?
And then again, maybe we're just different people. Maybe we're not good people, because Frank...
That's fair.
Frank has said consistently that he really wants Dusty Baker to win a World Series. He likes Dusty Baker, so he's rooting for the Nats. He's rooting for Max Scherzer, St. Louis kid, so he has a rooting interest in Max winning, in Dusty winning. He's never said, can't stand the Cubs, I hope they lose. We come on and we're like, God, I hope the Cubs lose.
But they just won it last year.
Maybe Frank's just a better person, is my point.
And look, I was crushed last year. I'll be crushed again. For baseball as a whole, it was a great story that the Chicago Cubs finally won the World Series. I understand here in St. Louis that we're supposed to hate the Cubs, but it was a great story, and it was compelling television. But they just won it last year. So I don't think as many people, especially casual baseball fans, will tune in to see the Cubs win another one when they just won one last year. I think for baseball as a whole, which we all know has a problem marketing its stars, it would be great, even if you don't like Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, I think we had a poll a couple months ago that said he was the most recognizable baseball player out there. It would be cool to see Bryce Harper, because people kind of love him or hate him. He's brash, he's cocky, he's got the hair flip, he's got some bravado. It would be cool to see baseball's best young star on the biggest stage.
You never get to see Mike Trout.
That's true.
And Brian Hoffman was on Twitter, and he was pointing something out about the D.C. market. I had looked up some of these numbers the other day. When the Capitals always flame out. They're always like a top seed in the East. You've got Ovechkin, and every year, like, well, is this the year? Nope, they don't get over the 98. I think they went to the Cup Finals. Otherwise, almost every year, they're either first round, second round, they get bounced.
And the Penguins just continuously own them.
The Wizards Haven't done much since Wes Unseld retired when they were the Bullets. I mean, the Wizards, there's not a, I mean, they got some good young players, maybe, and we're rooting for Bradley Beal, of course, but there's not a lot of recent history to point to. The Nats are always good, except in October. The Redskins have probably been to the playoffs a little bit here and there. They've been there with Kirk Cousins. They've been there with RG3.
RG3, by the way, is playing YMCA basketball right now. That's what he's doing. About 5 years ago.
So Fisher wins.
People said he was going to be the best quarterback in all of football, future Hall of Famer. And now you go to social media and he's dunking on middle-aged white dudes at the YMCA. So, and he's calling out Sam Bradford.
Right.
He's saying, look.
Get him out of the game. No, he was defending Bradford.
I know, but he's saying, get him off the field. I know what this looks like. It's not good.
And I've been through this. I've lived it. But the Redskins have a great history. But with Dan Snyder and all the coaching changes, they've been okay. Been here or there. So they really, as a fan base, haven't had a big moment. He included Georgetown. Huffman did. They did go to the Final Four in 2007. I think they actually won the regional in St. Louis, but they haven't had a lot to cheer about in D.C. Although mostly it's all about football, because even all the politicians that are from around the country, they all get on board with the Redskins. Jim Hannafin said when they were good, he said there'd be politicians coming out to practice during the week. Like D.C., it's all about the Redskins and then everything else. But for the sports fan there, it's been a while since they've had something fun.
So that's why I'm fine with the Nationals winning. That's why I feel bad even more so. I'm from Ohio, went to a lot of Indians games when I was a kid. They were really good, obviously, in the mid to late 90s. But Cleveland, especially the Indians, I know that they won a basketball championship with LeBron a couple years ago. But the Indians seem like another cursed franchise. And then, of course, now you have Kyrie Irving, and he was traded to the Celtics. And he says, it's great to finally be in a real sports town.
Was he afraid when he got traded to Boston, though, that he might fall off the edge of the earth, you know, because he had to go east?
He's a flat earther.
He's saying now that that's an social experiment.
I don't
buy
that.
He just wants to see how people react. Nats will host game 5 tonight. Looking forward to that. Carl Edwards is looking forward, or is it looking past the Nats?
I mean, it's going to be a great game tomorrow. And I know for a fact that he's going to be on. And we're just going to go out there. We're going to have fun. And we'll see you guys in L.A.
We'll see you guys in L.A.
How about
a little
that?
Confidence from Carl Edwards Jr.
What do they call him? The string bean slinger?
Yeah, great nickname.
The string bean slinger, who pitches more than Matt Bowman, I believe, doesn't he? He does pitch every single game.
Great tweet last night, by the way.
Did it get good response? It was doing fine.
No, it was.
Schaefer jinxed it.
It doesn't matter. See, really, I say this all the time. Sometimes you see a tweet, like Schaefer has his bots. He'll send out a tweet, and all of a sudden it has ridiculous response. Your tweet was underrated. I thought it was very funny.
What prompted it was watching all these playoff games. It's all about the bullpen. It's all about when's the manager going out. Joe Girardi almost screwed up last night by leaving CeCe in too long.
I thought he did.
You know? And then the big story postgame is how he redeemed himself, and he admitted to the team he screwed up when he didn't challenge in game 2, and he said, I screwed up. But I thought he was going to get roasted for that. It's all about the bullpen. So I don't know why, but I thought of Matt Bowman. So that's why I just tweeted out, so this is really weird, just drove by Bush, and Matt Bowman is warming up. 529 favorites.
Oh, that's pretty good. Did Tommy Pham like it?
Shafe's like, dude, if you only had bots, you would have been in the thousands on that.
I did not say that.
All right, let's break and come back with Derek Gould. We'll talk a little baseball with Derek Gould. This hour brought to you by Appliance Discounters, 6 different locations around the area. So they're easy to get to. Baldwin, Missouri, that's on Manchester Road, the showroom there. The original spot, more than a decade ago, that's in Webster Groves, that's on Watson Road. St. Charles, Bass Pro Drive, South County, that's in the Concord Shopping Plaza, corner of Lindbergh and Baptist Church Road. Fairview Heights, Illinois, 10,000 square foot showroom, and also in the city of St. Louis. TheAppliancedIscounters.com, the website. Whether it's an entire kitchen that you're redoing or you just need one item, a microwave, a stove, an oven, you're going to save the most money at Appliance Discounters. And it's the big names, Frigidaire, GE, Electrolux, Samsung, all of it at 6 different locations, easy to get to, lowest prices guaranteed. It's Appliance Discounters, where our savings are your savings. And